Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We welcome back this morning Lori Myers with the Fredericksburg office of the Alzheimer's Association. Lots to cover. We're gonna talk about the walk that just occurred and talk about a lot of things dealing with the holidays. You might be running into situations and seeing family members you haven't seen in a while. And so we're going to talk about all issues with dementia and Alzheimer's and how to deal with that with Lori. Lori, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you. Boy, the walk was about a month ago now.
Yeah, October 14th.
Yeah
so coming out over
it,
a month. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great day. The huge crowd at UMW and just people that were just passionate about the cause.
You know, you're so right, Ted. I mean, the energy, the crowd was bigger this year, a lot more people getting involved. Our partnership again with the college was fantastic, and certainly you all there as a partner to cover the event. So lots of energy, funds were raised. We are fundraising till December 31st, but we're just so grateful for people that came, showed up to walk in honor of somebody or to, you know, someone that's currently walking a journey. It was a great morning.
But and it was not the warmest of days. It was overcast and kind of cloudy. So I remember walking up thinking, I hope this doesn't affect the numbers. And I got there a little bit late. And that whole area, when you first walk into the university there, it was filled. It was colorful.
Yes.
And it's just always so interesting looking at when people are wearing buttons or having signs or something. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there for a different reason.
You know, you're so right. So we have those families that come back in honor of somebody, and there are those T-shirts with that loved one's picture on it. What a better way to honor somebody. Mm. We had some new teams this year. We were really, you know, hoping that some new people would come out. And I think the crowd was fantastic, and I think it does, you know, point to some people getting involved sometimes for the first time this year.
One of the things, and we were just talking about it off air, was Bill Gates' announcement recently, just the other day, that he's donating a lot of money. And boy, to have somebody with that kind of name recognition and that kind of money that's putting themselves out there and talking about this is how. Whenever you hear about that kind of money, I think of your line of, you know, we're still waiting for the first survivor, and that's how we get there.
That's right. That first survivor is coming, and certainly Bill Gates is, you know, internationally known, and he and his wife do so much. So for him to commit to our cause and want to make a difference, we're going to get there. So we are just thrilled that he has not only, you know, put some money towards it, but also the awareness of just talking about how important it is to get that cure with that money backing it up.
Well, and you think of what's happened with cancer or so many other diseases that 20, 25 years ago were death sentences, and we're making progress.
Yes.
This is how you get there.
Yes, exactly. We are going to get there. Our vision is a world without Alzheimer's or any type of dementia, and we are going to get there. It's a very exciting time.
Well, and I've always admired you, Lori, and others who are involved with the Alzheimer's Association and take this up, because this is really a tough disease. Not that any diseases aren't tough, but boy, this one in particular, because in so many cases, the person is there and in every way, except being able to communicate with
exactly. You so, you know, at some point that disease, the disease does take that communication and the ability to respond. So the loved one is still there, but it's very difficult for the family to know that they're still there, but they're not the same. Deep inside, they're still the same, but their ability to interact and have conversation is compromised. So Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and it's the only one in the top 10 that doesn't have a cure. So I really think we're starting to realize that as a society, and realizing that, you know, people are coming forward and talking about their journey and the struggles and just how difficult it is. It really is a call to action.
So we talked about the walk, and that always is in the fall. You've also there's a chance to get involved and contribute some money and become involved this weekend.
Exactly. Please come. It's Saturday, November 18th. This is our fourth annual breakfast and silent auction with our partners, Chancellor's Village. And so it's an opportunity to come and have a fantastic breakfast. They put out such a spread. And then we have things that are donated by the community for our silent auction. Chancellor's Village is donating all the food. The silent auction items are being donated, and all of it will go to help us rally towards the end of our fundraising for the Walk to End Alzheimer's, which we are taking funds for until December 31st.
That's what you said. So if someone does want to get involved, do they go just go to alz.org?
They could. They could go to alz.org/walk and type in 22401 and make a donation. They could even send it to the local office here, a check made out to the Alzheimer's Association. Every penny counts. And certainly, you know, we've got another month and a half or so, and it'll all count towards this year's walk.
The address for the for the local office is?
It's 2217 Princess Anne Street, Suite 106-1F, and that's Fredericksburg 22401. So you can mail it. If you wanted to stop by the office anyway, just give me a call. Tell me when you're coming. I'd be happy to take that donation and also talk with you more.
I was just going to say, that would be a good opportunity to see what you've got at the office. Mm-hmm. I know you've got informational materials there, and just describe what is here locally.
So here locally is lots of information, lots of brochures about communication, behaviors, different types of dementia. We've got lots to share. We also have community partners, you know, resources in the community. Lots of times people are looking for direction, and we're going to certainly be happy to give them that. We also have a small lending library, some caregiver books, other kinds of books related to dementia. And you can check a book out with me just like you would the library. Take it as long as you need it. Get it back to me when you're done. And that knowledge is very empowering. So we like to provide that local library as well.
Boy, it's when a person comes to you, especially at the beginning, when a loved one has gotten the diagnosis, those have to be tough moments for you and them.
It is a moment to kind of let it all sink in, you know, that diagnosis has been given. So, you know, we want to help the family kind of deal with the emotional piece of that and talk through that, and also help them to see that, you know, we might not be able to change that diagnosis, but we're gonna be there to support them, do some planning, and walk the journey with them. So it is a tough moment, but it's also one where we're really happy when someone does reach out to us. That's exactly why we're here, is to help with that.
Yeah, no, and we're so fortunate to have a local office. You're connected with the Richmond office.
Yes.
But
yes,
to have a local office here and to have a resource like you here, It's great for this community.
You know, we're pleased to be here. We are part of the national organization. Home offices in Chicago. But if someone's listening and they have a loved one elsewhere that needs to connect with us, there's a way to do that, to find out who that local person would be, like myself. So, you know, we're available anywhere within the United States.
A couple of numbers before we take a break we'll give these throughout. I know that there's the local number, but there's also a 24-hour number.
Yes. So the helpline is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week number. And that, I'm going to give that to you. It's 1-800-272 3900. And you can call that day or night, Thanksgiving Day, 2 a.m. If there's a scenario, you just need somebody to listen. We staff that 24/7. And then here locally, 540-370-0835. And when prompted, please put extension 8407. And that would be the local Fredericksburg office.
Give that number again,
540-370-0835. 35 and then extension 8407.
Okay, we'll talk about those throughout the morning and give those to you. We're talking Alzheimer's with Lori Myers this morning. She's with the Fredericksburg office of the Alzheimer's Association. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers here with the Fredericksburg office of the Alzheimer's Association. 540-370-0835, extension 8407 is her number. She her office over there by Carl's on Princess Anne Street. 540-370-0835, extension 8407.
Yep.
is how you can get in touch with her. And we'll mention that, and we'll mention the 24-hour line also as we continue on this morning. Probably a good idea, I guess, Lori, if you're going home and going to see family members, especially if it's only been, maybe if it's only been since the summer. Mm-hmm. But this is the kind of thing where, and as we all age, you may start noticing things with either parents or even siblings.
Yes. So there's normal aging, but then there's something a little bit more than that. And it's where we're looking for a change in functioning. In other words, mom's been living independently, getting to the store, cooking for herself. The home is tidy. And we may go to visit and we may notice some changes. Maybe a little more confusion with mom in the home. Maybe it's not as tidy as it was. Maybe there are some bills that she normally would have been right on top of paying and getting out the door stacked up. There may be food in the refrigerator, not as much food. It looks like maybe she's not getting to the store and preparing foods. We may see more convenience foods. And we know those aren't as nutritious. And it's not like mom. You know, she's typically the cook of the family. So when we start to see some of those changes, we start to wonder, you know, if maybe her abilities are changing. And that's really what we're talking about. And remembering how to do things. So remembering how to pay our bills, how to get to the store, what do we need to purchase, laundry, you know, is mom still looking clean and hygiene is good? Or are we seeing more unkept appearance? We would start to wonder, why is that changing? You know, why does she seem to not be handling some of that for herself? And I would question that a bit, try to find out, you know, a little bit more from mom and how she's feeling, and try to get a sense of, you know, does she still seem oriented, or is there some confusion going on that we may need to take a closer look at?
And I guess you have to, and like you say, look at all of these things and read between the lines, because I would think mom or anybody is going to always say, I'm fine.
No problem at all. You know, even if you're with them in the car and you notice some changes driving, I'm driving just fine. I've been driving for 50 years or 60 years. So that's a very common response. There's just that lack of awareness that anything's any different. So that's part of the challenge, actually, because the individual who might be struggling with some of those tasks now don't necessarily see that they're struggling, or maybe they're just not ready to share it. Maybe deep down they know there's some challenges and they realize that they got lost in the car or that they can't remember where things are in the house. But they may not be ready to share it. Some people eventually do. Others, you know, never get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one of the greatest things I ever heard, Pat Holland every year shares this when we do a similar show. And she always says, when you go to your parents' house, go and just walk around and check the car out. See if there are any, you know, kind of dings in it or a change in the car. Mm-hmm. You can say, what happened there?
Right. It allows you to point something out that's not personal. It's not about the person, but it's about the car. So we know with Alzheimer's and different kinds of dementia, sometimes our vision can be compromised. Things, you know, how close is something? How far away is it? Our reaction time could be related to some confusion or some anxiety. So that's a great thought. What does the car look like and what did happen? And can they tell you what happened? Do they remember what happened as well?
Yeah.
Because if, you know, sometimes with memory loss, you truly don't remember. So if mom's saying, well, gosh, I have no idea. I didn't know there was a ding. That kind of tells you something as well. Or if they're defensive and they get upset, it could be they were hoping you wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
And something did happen and they do remember having that accident.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, Lori, one of the things is when you do start noticing this, I mean, the person who's doing the analyzing, you just don't want to believe it's happening.
Right.
And so you have to be careful either not to jump to conclusions, but also not to wait too long.
Exactly. So you may be seeing this starts out very subtly with small red flags. So you're right. You don't want to jump to conclusions and diagnose anybody, but you want to take note. You might even want to start a small journal. Just some observations, what you saw, what the neighbor may have said, and kind of keep track. And, you know, you don't want to see that there might be changes because that's your loved one and that's someone that you have memories of a certain way. But at the same time, we don't want to ignore things, but we don't want to assume it's Alzheimer's either.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there are treatable dementias. They're reversible dementias where there may be medications interacting. There could be a vitamin deficiency, a thyroid problem, a clinical depression. Those are things that are treatable. So, and they can mimic. Some of the signs are very similar. So we certainly want to take notes. We want to perhaps have a conversation at some point, or maybe even suggest a good physical, because there can be other reasons for the changes.
Just occurs to me that another thing, and this may be if you have an elderly neighbor or have someone you notice at church, when you do see the family members come home for the holidays, and especially if you have some kind of a relationship with that family, it would be good if you could take somebody aside. If you notice as a neighbor or a churchgoer, you know, they're just not quite, you know, something's not there.
Right.
And I would think the family would be very, it would in most cases, would be grateful to know that kind
of thing. That's a great point, Ted, because, you know, is the mail stacking up or the paper stacking up? What are the things the neighbor's seeing? And I've had families say, I did not realize until the neighbor or the friend said something. So a lot of times it is that person that sees that person more often and lives near them that will pick up on things that are just really hard to detect from a distance. So that's key. Some people may resist or hesitate, thinking, oh, I don't know if I should say anything. But this is a person's, you know, this is their safety. And, you know, I think it's important to realize it's the most loving thing you can do sometimes is to bring some stuff up.
Yeah.
But the key is privately, so that you can have that conversation and talk about it without that person there. And why would I say that? Well, that person might get upset because they might not say, well, I'm doing fine. Why are you talking about me? Or why are you saying that? And again, it's about, you know, the lack of being able to see it in yourself. So, you know, I think probably privately would be best.
You mentioned going to, or, you know, going and getting a physical.
Yes.
Is that kind of where that kind of gets the ball rolling, or doctors are able to, that's when they start? Because how do they diagnose something like this?
Well, so let's say we've got some initial concerns. You know, we're not sure why mom's having some of these symptoms, but we want to start out with maybe a good physical and some blood work. And so that may, you know, these concerns may have not yet been brought up to the doctor. They may have no idea that there's any changes going on. So a good physical is helpful. Some blood work can be done. And once the doctor has some idea that there may be some changes going on, it allows them to do the blood work and pick up on anything that may be treatable. Those are the reversible dementias. Some of the physicians at the primary care level do have a mini mental status test. Some of them feel comfortable administering that and saying, hey, this is something I give everybody at a certain age. And that will give them some additional information to feel like maybe a referral on for an assessment, you know, with a neurologist or one of the assessment centers might be warranted. But they want to exclude the treatables. And that can often be done at the primary care level if it hasn't already been done.
But I guess when a diagnosis comes, that comes at with a neurologist or someone like that.
Most of the time it does. You know, what we would recommend is if everything comes out great with the primary care, we have some other steps that we recommend to getting a full diagnosis. And that's typically, let's get to a neurologist. There's a neuropsychologist here in the area that will also do some testing to further give information. Or someone can go to the UVA memory clinic or down at VCU. And those would be several steps. The neurologist checks for balance and reflex. They do additional testing. And they're probably going to do an MRI. And certainly those are things that would be done outside the primary care, that one visit. So once they go through the tests, the steps, what they come up with is perhaps probable Alzheimer's. And that's based on all the information that they've gathered. Or if someone has heart-related issues and some confusion, or they know they had a stroke, or they pick up on some little mini strokes with the MRI, sometimes they'll come back with, you know, vascular dementia, which is, you know, we support any of the dementias. And that's certainly under that one of the umbrella of different dementias that may be going on.
Yeah.
So it's a process, but one that we have to encourage and maybe go with our loved one to that appointment and make sure that the physician seeing that person has all the information that's available about how that person's doing.
Well, I have learned, and this you've done a really great job of describing all of this morning. I guess I didn't realize, you say I have cancer, and there's just so many layers cancer. This is in a way, when you say I've got Alzheimer's, or I might have. I mean, there's just in the dementia world, it's just like cancer.
It's true. There are different types of dementia. So dementia is the cognitive change, but I think of it as an umbrella. Under there is Alzheimer's, 50 to 70% of the time. Vascular dementia is under there. Another type of dementia called frontal temporal lobe is under there. Parkinson's related. So they're less common. Yeah. Those are different dementias, just like cancer, and we certainly want to support and educate with all of those in mind.
Boy, every time you're here, you give the statistic, but it caught me this morning when you said, for some reason, when you said that Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death, but the only one in the top 10 where there's no cure.
There's no cure. We have some FDA-approved medications. Doctors are prescribing those. Those should be taken, but they manage symptoms for a period of time. There's value in that, but it's not going to change the trajectory of the disease. But there's still value, because at any time we can allow someone to stay as independent as possible, that's good for everybody.
And I guess because I know in my father-in-law's case, the drugs that he was taking, it really helped him for a long time. It prolonged a lot of things, and I know the family was always very thankful for those drugs. I know everybody reacts differently.
Everybody does, and that's great that you got some positive benefit. And a lot of people do, but there are folks that, for whatever reason, they don't respond as well. Mm-hmm. But certainly we don't know who will and who won't. So this is what we have. The physicians prescribe them. And the key would be keeping that communication open with that doctor that prescribed them and letting them know if there's any issues or any concerns once you start something new.
And this all, again, goes back to the fact that more research is needed, and every little bit that any person individually or group can do, whether it was for the walk or going to the pancake breakfast, all kinds of things help. And people can donate till the end of the year for the fundraiser you just had.
Yes, that's true. It's very true. Certainly the funds are important. And just the awareness, if you now know that there's a local office and you now know there's local efforts, let people know. Even if they don't need us now, they may at some point. And so that awareness piece, we can all be a part of that.
More with Lori Myers. She's with the Fredericksburg office of the Alzheimer's Association. Great information, especially with the holidays, and these might be issues that need to come up and be talked about at the family level. Again, her number, 540-370-0835, extension 8407, the 24-hour hotline to call anytime, 1-800-272-3900. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Lori Myers here, the Fredericksburg office of the Alzheimer's Association. We are talking about Alzheimer's, dealing with it during the holidays and how to deal with it. One of the things, Lori, that we could do hours talking about caregivers and what heroes they are.
Yes.
Because so often, and I know in the case of my family, it was a situation where my mother-in-law, she just would never want to leave his side.
Mm-hmm.
But for their own health, it's sometimes necessary.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought this up, Ted. It is National Family Caregivers Month for the month of November. Caregivers, they love their loved one. They do it with love. But you have to be healthy and rested in order to give back and do your best. So we do want to highlight the caregivers. It's a difficult journey as the disease progresses. They do want to be closer to that caregiver, even if they're in the same house. They're wondering where that caregiver is and going to try to find them. So with that being said, you got to take a break from that. You have to make sure that you have an hour a week, an hour a day where you can do some things for yourself personally so that you can give back what you want to give back to your loved one. So it's difficult. So that's where families can really come in and help. It could be a family member that lives nearby. It could be someone that lives close enough to come for the weekend and say, hey, I'm going to come Saturday. I'll be there all day with dad. Please go do whatever you want to do for the day. And so that gives the caregiver a chance to have something to look forward to. It gives them permission to step away. And it also gives them a chance to decide, how do I want to spend a little time for myself? And they come back feeling a little more rejuvenated.
And this too, Lori, is where it gets tough for families, because especially if you've got a sibling who lives nearby mom and dad and is taking care of them all the time, if you're not there, you need to make sure that you communicate with that, that there's communication, because I know later on they can split families up and there can be just anger of, Ted never comes around here. He's not doing his part as a caregiver.
Right. So families, we all have them. We all have those dynamics. And with a chronic illness like this, people have different reactions. So there's the sister that's there and is the full-time caregiver. And then other family members may have a different way of dealing with their grief. So how does that look? It may be denial. I can't make it this week and I'm really, really busy. It's easier not to go than to look at mom or dad and see the changes. And some people, that's their coping. It's a way of coping. It's a way of surviving. For other people, it may be they're just further away, but they're kind of micromanaging that person that's the primary caregiver, because that's all they can do is question, and is it okay? And, what about this? What about that? That's their way of contributing. But when you're the primary caregiver, it's often not received well, in certain situations. So coming together as a family, even having a family meeting, we often recommend that so that everybody can get on the same page. Everybody may have a piece that they can do. So maybe I'm not living with mom or dad, but maybe I'm really good with finances and I can take over the bills. There may be another family member who, their thing is cooking. And so maybe they're going to commit to, so many meals a week. So when you come together as a family and talk about it, sometimes it helps everybody to feel like there's other support. We can do that with a care consultation. Someone could come into the office. We've done this many, many times where we sit down, whoever can be there is there. And we kind of talk about a little bit of education and also, what piece could you perhaps do to help with the situation?
Well, and I guess that you would be sometimes maybe somebody that would be a good person to be along. Because I think the hardest situation would be when you've got somebody in the family who just says, it's not that, you're overreacting.
And it happens, Ted. It happens. She sounds okay on the phone. I was just there Sunday. I think she's doing okay.
Yeah.
And so that's truly their impression based on their interaction. And that's what they want as well. You don't want to think that person's not doing well. But sometimes if you spend a little more time with that individual, it's a little easier to pick up on the changes. But if you're only there for a couple hours, you really might not see it, because that person is putting their best foot forward during the visit early on. And it's hard to pick up on sometimes.
Well, I guess there are a lot of ways, too, that whether it's neighbors or friends, people that are in the community can not only help the family, but can help the caregiver.
Yes, there's lots of things you can do. Educating, everybody can educate themselves. If you know your neighbor that you love or a family member that you love has a specific diagnosis, let's learn as much as we can. That can be done through our office with the information we have. It can be done going on ALZ.org. So you man yourself with the information that you need so that you understand what changes are occurring. Then we make ourselves available. Hey, sometimes people will say, and I know I've done this, hey, let me know if you need anything, And that's kind of an open-ended, offer. But sometimes it's better if we can think about something specific. Hey, I'm coming over on Saturday. My time that I have is 12 to 5. I'll be there. You decide. So in other words, it's a specific, this is what I can do to give you a break. Sometimes just checking in with that caregiver. It can be done over the phone. It can be very isolating day-to-day dealing with this. But if you get a phone call every couple of days, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? That allows for that caregiver to feel not quite so isolated. Some people will do that via email. I've had some families do a group email maybe once a month or every couple weeks. Hey, everybody, you know, this is how we're doing. This is where mom's, you know, her strengths are. We had a good time today. And it also is an opportunity with that group email to talk about some of the changes and challenges.
Yeah.
So that they can be kept abreast of what's going on.
And I guess it's important to be honest like that, because now if you've been taking care of mom or dad, and all of a sudden the holidays are here, mm-hmm. and maybe you haven't been quite as open about how things are, and all of a sudden everyone rolls in for the holidays, and it's, you know, it's just shocking what they're seeing.
Right. So you're right. And so often that happens because we don't really think about, you know, maybe doing a little prep ahead of time. So we certainly recommend, if you know folks are coming in, sending a little bit of an email, a group email, maybe saying, hey, this is what's going on. Mom's doing really well in this situation. Visually, maybe she's lost some weight. That's something that if I knew ahead of time, I'd be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can have that conversation either on the phone or if there's a lot of people coming via an email, you can begin to prepare the family, and perhaps it'll be a little bit of a better visit, you know, when they get there, if they know what the current status is.
And I guess for people that it's always good when you're dealing with people in these situations to know how to handle the situation, because especially with kids, you might not want to have loud rooms or just. I know it's with someone with dementia with Alzheimer's, schedules are really important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the routine is really important. It's the rhythm of the day. It's predictable. It reduces that anxiety and some of that confusion. So if you know you're going to be visiting, make sure you call ahead. Hey, you know, we're going to be in town. You know, we'd like to visit on Saturday. That time frame is helpful because that allows the family who's caring for that loved one to prepare the loved one.
Yeah.
Hey, some people are coming over. Maybe if we know the family's coming over at 1 o'clock, we can talk about who's coming. We can get a photo album out, maybe start talking about some of the folks that are going to be here. We also suggest, if you have a large family, you know, you might want to consider smaller groups coming to visit. And why I say that is sometimes it's overwhelming. Even when we've talked with mom and said everybody's coming, you get a big group coming in, and we want the visit to go well for everyone, but it may be overwhelming for the person with dementia. So I think smaller groups certainly is important. You know, we've talked before, and I know I've mentioned this to you, about having like a name tag for all the loved ones that are coming. Some people think, a name tag? This is family. Why would we do that? But I've had people say, I've got a lot of grandkids and I'm having trouble remembering who they all are. And there's, you know, some stress around that.
Yeah.
So if everybody just had a first name tag and it's what you do coming in the door, it's less awkward for the loved one. And it may be just enough to make them feel more comfortable. And it's a good cue for who all these folks are, too.
What a great idea.
So I think that's helpful. Again, we want it to be a good visit, but we also don't want it to be overwhelming. And I think, too, some families, you know, we've got traditional Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner at 6. Well, you know, how else could that possibly look? Evenings are not good for folks with, many times for folks with dementia. Let's have it be a lunch. And let's have everybody bring potluck. Mom's always liked to cook, but she's now, how can we make it easier for a mom to be the host by adjusting the time and maybe what's for dinner?
But that's a great idea too, Lori, of just realizing things aren't the way they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be flexible and change things. And whether it's small groups, changing the times, all of that.
Right. And so family traditions, you know, we all have them. But how can we adjust those a little bit so we still feel connected, but we're not putting everything on that host who is also the caregiver?
Yeah.
And it could mean someone else is hosting. You know, mom's always done it, but we're going to go somewhere else and she'll still be there with dad. But it reduces the stress. But I think the routine is really important, that routine sleeping. Because you know what sleep does to us if we don't have it, we get exhausted.
Yeah. No, and I know of cases where families that have dealt with this, then the day after or the few days after, it's just the person is way off kilter.
Yes.
And the next time a holiday comes, they're more apt just to say, leave us out.
Right. So, you know, if we can reduce the crowd, manage the time, get the loved one involved as much as possible, you know, with remembering who's coming. And also at Christmas, you know, what part of the decoration and the getting ready can the person with dementia be a part of? Without it overwhelming everybody, because come January 1st, like you said, we're all going to be exhausted if we don't manage this a little bit. But I think being proactive is much better than realizing later, oh, wow, I overdid it. And so my loved one's now exhausted too.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's such a heavy topic. Mm-hmm. And it's no one wants to be dealing with this.
Right. So there's that grief about that. And a lot of people will say, you know, there's a loss, a grieving that goes mm-hmm. along with the disease. Certainly we grieve that person when they're gone, but bits and pieces of them are changing along the way. So there's a grieving and a feeling of loss going on that I think some people are aware of it. Other people just don't feel good. They feel stressed. And it really is related to what's changing with their loved ones. So it's good to talk about that.
Well, and all of this is good information. You can find a lot of it on ALZ.org, but in a lot of ways, some of this you can get to combine talk to you.
Yes.
Is a great resource. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I would feel like, boy, once I go and talk to her, you know, it's out there and it's really real. But you, like you say, and there's some grieving to get there.
Right.
But you just at some point you've got to accept what you're dealing with.
Right. So, and acceptance, I think that's such a key word, because if I'm not there yet and I'm still in a little bit of denial, or I still think, you know, oh, this isn't really going to progress, I don't feel the need to call the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to go to a support group. But if you take that step and have some acceptance, it opens up a world of support and education. So I commend and applaud everyone that calls our office or stops in for help or goes online, because that's the part we can do something about, is educating ourselves and getting the support.
And you go to something like the walk and you see so many mm-hmm. people there with the different colors that indicate when they're holding up the different colors that indicate where they're at and what they're dealing with, and you see you're not alone.
And I think that's so therapeutic. And certainly in that situation, there's other caregivers there, and you don't feel like you're the only one dealing with this. And so that's where the support groups really provide that same sense of I'm not alone. Gosh, there's three other people here caring for their spouse. I thought I was the only one. And sometimes, obviously, in a support group setting, it's safe to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But out in the community with your friends and your neighbors, you know, you might not be ready to share it, but yet you really need to for your own mental health.
We're going to talk about those support groups and give numbers again and let people know how they can get involved. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Lori Myers with the Fredericksburg Office of the Alzheimer's Association. Her number, her direct line, is 540-370-0835, extension 8407. The 24-hour hotline is 1-800-272-3900. We'll wrap it up with Lori on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers here for the Fredericksburg Office of the Alzheimer's Association. Wow, Lori, this is just, at some point you just want to go, and caregivers deal with this every single mm-hmm. day, because they're managing all of this. They're yep. managing to make sure, when we're talking about holidays, they manage that every day from meal to meal.
Right. So it's one, you know, people tell me one day at a time, 1 hour at a time.
Are they going to wander off?
Is it it's a marathon, and it's something you can't do just by yourself. So getting that family support, and if you don't have family support, we're going to create support in addition to that with the community, with the resources, so that you don't feel like you're walking this journey by yourself. It's too big.
Yeah. No, and when you talked about the support groups, mm-hmm. how important those are in anything, because a lot of times you get this diagnosis or you look at your situation and you just think, I can't do it. This is horrible. And you yep. get with other people mm-hmm. and you hear their stories yep. and all of a sudden you think, okay, well, they're dealing with that and I'm not dealing with that. And it does change your opinion.
It really does. Some people will say, well, gosh, I guess my situation, you know, is not what theirs is.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you always think, you know? I always tell people, you go to things like this and you find out that there are people who have it worse than you.
Right. There's some perspective there that you wouldn't get any other way. And the support groups are confidential. They're small. And so, you know, kind of what stays in happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, that's kind of the mantra with the support group, that it's okay to be sad and share something frustrating, or it's okay to reach over and support mm-hmm. somebody else and tell them, you know, I was where you were and it's going to be okay. So I get there.
I guess, especially as we deal with the holidays, if you do start noticing things, start doing your homework mm-hmm. on this mm-hmm. and at least at the very least encourage a neighbor or a loved one or a spouse or a sibling. At least start out and go get a good physical.
I think that's, you know, key. Make sure it's not a treatable, something that's going on. Medications are causing the confusion. That's a great starting point. Journaling what you're seeing is very helpful. That can be done for anybody that sees that loved one. And if you do find yourself in the doctor's office trying to explain what's changed, we recommend trying to get that information to the doctor ahead of time. Because if we take mom in and start talking about, well, she did this yesterday, mom's going to get upset. She's not going to understand why you said that. She's going to say, I didn't do that. But yet the doctor needs to know those other things that are happening.
Yeah, you're right. I never even thought of that, about mm-hmm. alerting the doctor mm-hmm. of this is what we're concerned about. They then know what to look for.
Right, because early on, if you ask mom or dad how they're doing, they're going to say, I'm great.
Yeah.
And in a 10 or 15 minute doctor's appointment, they could present as doing pretty well, but there could definitely be more going on that the doctor needs to know about.
Yeah, and if you can't just rely on the phone calls, because right. we all say, how was your week? Oh, I'm fine.
Right. It's those social pat answers that we all have, and those are intact for quite a while, even with somebody with early dementia.
Again, before we do the phone numbers, on Saturday, there's a fundraiser.
Yes. Chancellor's Village, come have a great breakfast. The breakfast starts at 9. It ends at 11 at Chancellor's Village this Saturday. We also have a silent auction. Come do some early Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
All of the proceeds, everything's being donated that day, and it'll all go to wrap up our fundraising for WAC 2017.
Saturday the 17th is when, that's the 17th, isn't that on Saturday?
18th.
Yeah,
it's
Saturday
the 18th.
Saturday the 18th.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. 17th is Friday. 18th is Saturday. So
yes.
So do that. Again, your number in the 24-hour number?
Okay, so the helpline is 1-800-272-3900, and the local number here in Fredericksburg, 540-370-0835, and then that'd be extension 8407. And I'll tell you, ALZ.org is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Get on there now, learn more about National Family Caregiver Month, and this is also National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month.
Lori, thank you for what you do. You are a gift to the community. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Ted.
Lori Myers, Fredericksburg Office of the Alzheimer's Association. That is it for Town Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.